Welcome into episode 171 of Keith's Craft Collective. I'm Louise, your host. I've got no dog, because he's off for a run, but a fan on a computer, which has just started again, and a blether with Don't Be a Bob, Retreat section, What's a Crack, Coming Up, Me section, Dram section with an old Pulteney 12-year-old single malt whisky and special guests, and a shoppy section. I sponsor this for my own crafty business, which is www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. The links will be with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram and let you know what crack is in Caithness this week. And apologies for the delay in the show notes last episode. Now, I don't really like doing show notes, so sometimes they're delayed anyway, but last episode I ran out of internet and I had to buy some more to do the show notes and various other things to do with the retreat, because we have a certain amount of internet a month, blah, 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 blah. So apologies if you were looking for all the links straight away. But they're there now, and they will be with this one.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Sandy calls all snails Bob. Snaily Bob. I've listened to a few World Surface podcasts recently, and a couple of them talk about algorithms. They're good, they're bad in the world. For those of you that don't know, an algorithm is a process or a set of rules to be followed in calculations or other problem-solving operations, especially by a computer. They're set up in social media for programs such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It was originally to assist you, say, as a Facebook user. If you constantly click liked on one of your friends' posts, then it assumed that you liked that person and kept pulling up their feed to the top of your feed to look at. Then Instagram got into the fray, and now you see posts from any time of 4 seconds ago to 5 days ago as the first picture that when you open the app. Amazon is apparently not the best algorithm, because it thinks that we still want to look up waterproof MP3 players 5 months after we got one from Santa. Some of the algorithms are better placed than others, and the Facebook code is a very closely guarded secret, according to this podcast I listened to. To me, this is akin to me getting a newspaper and only reading the stories that I might actually like and posting them on my wall. Then, as time goes on, I don't see anything that I don't know about. I never see the random stories, be they good or bad, to expand my universe. In fact, I think it does the opposite. On Facebook, all I see is speckle yarn. On Instagram, I keep seeing what Whirlybird's dog's doing, and on Twitter, all I see is election stuff. I would like to say, I don't mind speckle yarn, and I really, really love Whirlybird's dog. On the podcast I listened to, the presenter said that back in the election, and hey, there's been a few in the past, Wiley, so pick one that applies to you best. Well, he said that whilst he was covering the election, he wanted to see what the other side were thinking and seeing. So he went onto Facebook and started following a whole pile of opposition party feeds. But because he didn't click the like, because he didn't actually like what they were saying, Facebook stopped showing it to him, and he had to go and search it out. He couldn't get an impartial or balanced version of events. Too much of one thing is not good for us. If all we ate was rabbit, then we would die, because we need a variety of vitamins, minerals and calories to sustain us. If all we post around us is stuff that makes us feel good, then we are in danger of disappearing into our spiral shell like Bob the snail. I'm afraid I stood in a snail the other day when I was walking the dog. I am so sorry, Snaily Bob. We will all be so wrapped in our own shell that looking out of it won't make sense. This could be the same then for crafting. If we only liked speckle yarn, or say the long striping, or solid, then the crafting industry would spiral down as the market saturates and, get that one, saturates, a new creativity wouldn't really move on. We love the new, we love the what's happening next, the on trend, the what's hot, the let's jump on this bandwagon, as it's going past my house, and I can knit when I'm on the back of it with my pals. So let's not lose the creativity. If someone's well travelled, it's a compliment, as they have experienced life the world over. They have been and seen what other people do over our enormous planet. It can be comfortable living in our bubble, like Katy Perry has been singing recently and giving me an earworm, but to what effect? In the world this week, the USA pulled out the Paris Agreement on climate change, and the ice caps melt faster than they were, the extinct list grows ever bigger, the endangered list grows longer. In the UK, the fox hunting ban is in danger of being repealed, and the ivory trade for the antiques glossed over. Most of us have children. We owe it to them to open our shells and look beyond the algorithm, beyond the speckle yarn, but take our rose-tinted glasses off and keep the bandwagon going further and wider than it ever has before. Sorry, Bob, but I don't want to be a snail.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello section. A sandy hello to you, to me, be with me a while now, and be with me forever, listeners. I very, very much appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that you are enjoying yourself. And maybe it's given you a bit of peace from the recent worldwide events. And if you've been affected by the Manchester bombings or the attacks in London, my heart goes out to you, and just know that I'm thinking of you. And also, if there's anything else in the world, because, I mean, there was a bombing in Kabul, 80 people, and the list goes on. So this just happens to be in my bubble, in my spiral feed just now. It doesn't make yours any less or any more important. It's just that that's what I've been seeing. A sandy hello to two new group members, Soto Yoshi and LN Knitfest. Random hellos are to Silver Spring Knit. Lovely Nora, you've been busy. Gemma Bell, I've not been to the post office yet with yours. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten. It's just still sitting upstairs. Oops, swallows. Naomi, Sarah, Dr. Molly, Ivy Fox, and FRK Strick.
What's the crack, section?
What's the crack? I like this. Kirsten Kapoor has a mystery knit-along coming up on the 15th of June when the first clue comes out. The very kind Kirsten gifted my retreat some coupons, so this is what I decided to use mine for. This year's TTL Mystery Shawl is a two-colour asymmetric triangle. She recommends a solid or near-solid yarn for both colours. She doesn't recommend highly variegated yarns for this pattern. The pattern will not work well as a single-colour shawl. However, if you're feeling adventuresome, try playing around with three colours. There's an obvious places in the designs to add a third colour if desired. The TTL Mystery Shawl 2017 may be worked in any weight yarn, but keep in mind that the heavier the yarn, the more yarn you will need. The clues are out on June the 15th, June the 22nd, June the 29th, July the 6th, and July the 13th. I have no idea if I'm going to manage this, but I'm quite excited to join in, and I know that Angela of Scotch Tweed fame has as well. I'm going to have to look out my stash of two solid colours, which I think I'll be okay for that. But I'm going to do my homework on the suggested yarn, which was Yarn Carnival Yak Attack. And it's 70% superwash merino, 20% yak and 10% nylon. So exciting times for me ahead. Speaking of exciting times, Owl Pint Panda, Amanda, who escaped from my pocket, has released a new ebook which is going to drip feed us wonderful patterns over the summer. And if you get it now, it's only £10. That's £10 for 6 patterns, people. The price will be going up as the August deadline approaches, but really not by an awful lot. You'll get a sleeveless top called Tangents, which is very, very pretty. It has a cut garter stitch around the bust area front and back, but below that it's a really lovely lace all the way around. It'd be perfect for summer days when you don't need sleeves. The ebook is called Shifting Horizons, and I'm very happy that it's going to update so often. And it'll be the gift that keeps on giving. So thank you, Amanda. Meadow Yarn are introducing their own hand-dyed range. They have 4 new weights, 2 of which are 100% British, and the write-up of each yarn is worth a good read-through. In the Fane, which is the name of the single ply for shawls, but not socks, because it won't stand the hard wearing of the heel. I really like how they've put that on, because not all single or 4-ply is suitable for socks, even though 4-ply in the UK is generally called sock weight, which can be misleading. And I've done that in my past myself. So nice one, made of yarn. So you have Fen, which is a single ply superwash fine merino, and I just love the names. One of the hard parts I'm led to believe in about yarn dyeing is the names, and I think they've cracked this section. So Fen, you've got Skunk Cabbage, and yes, it is the exact colour of green. So there's 20 of these in the single ply. Then there's Burr, which is the British BFL fingering 4-ply. My favourite one here being called Eat Your Greens, which again is a green. And you've got 15 to choose from here. Fell is the worsted superwash merino, and my favourite name here is Grease Monkey for denim blue. And there's 10 of these. And finally, the holm, which is the sock or four-ply in British blue-fleeced Leicester. There's 32 of these, and the names are Brilliant Rhubarb Season, or, well, that's just peachy, being two of them. You know, I like a name. The costs are between £16 and £18, and had I not topped up my yarn stash this weekend, I think I'd be pretty sorely tempted to go and help them lose some stock. Good luck with this venture, Meadow Yarn, and they have a really lovely fast service. Also, a happy birthday to Brit Yarn. She has a collaboration with Knitting Goddess of some Shades of Ethel, which is really lovely. So, happy birthday to Brit Yarn. And I've had Daisy and Sandy knitting. Daisy was upstairs and declared, "I want to knit, Mummy." That's her banging against the door. You can maybe hear them too just now. It's Sunday morning today. So she came down with needles and acceptable yarn, i.e. not my good stuff, as I'm not that nice a mummy. I really am not. So I cast on and very carefully showed her the first row as I went along. Then back of the tree, around the tree, and through the window, off comes Jack. Which isn't the right way of seeing it, but that's what I was remembering at the time. So I sat with her for 15 minutes and off she went. So she's now sitting with her dad, going behind the tree, around the tree, through the window, and off comes Jack. And I was wondering if this weekend she would ask one of my guests to show her before mummy teaching her it hasn't worked. So far, she's doing not bad. I mean, there's drop stitches, but she's on her third bit now. And then Sandy started, although he's managed to increase quite a lot. But it's fine, I decrease for him. I'm a crafty mother of two knitters. The retreat. Oh, wheelie, 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 it's all done for another year. I'm bereft. It's all done. A quick rundown of a wonderful weekend I spent months getting organised for. And my guests had a little bit of organising to do too. I have loads of photos on my Instagram feed if your algorithm doesn't like me. We were blessed with wonderful sunny weather and even more wonderful guests. You outshone the Caithness sun. The first night saw us catching up and meet and greet and eating and knitting and spinning. And the next day dawned beautifully and I ran a silk scarf dyeing workshop using the designated microwave, which we worked out how to use, and it was grand for getting dirty. Please don't use your food microwave for using certain dyes because it's not a good idea to mix the two. I was absolutely blown away with the results of the scarves after using the washing machine and ironing them. We were wearing them out for our dinner to the Stacks Bistro that night. In the afternoon, we were lucky to have a small but perfect vendor fair with Nick and her yarns from the plane, and also Angela with Scotch Tweed and tartans. I never think everybody bought some new stash. My textile artists came by and they enjoyed this part of the day with us. For the goodie bag, I had a red Caithness Craft tote bag this year, and inside was a tartan notion pouch with a zip. I've been zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay for months now, and they're going to be a new addition to my Etsy shop. In it was a clear plastic bauble that was in two parts, and you can hang them on your Christmas tree or hang them around the house during the year. Say you would put your sweeties and a bit of tinsel in it if it was Christmas. But what I did, and I did this last year, is I put different shells from the Caithness shoreline. And this included a Grotty Bucky, which is a cowrie shell, a tiny pebble, a bit of sea glass or a sea pottery, different periwinkles, a wee mussel, limpet, top shell, any kind of different shell that I could find that would fit. And then I put a red ribbon which matched the tote bag, and this means that they'll have a bit of Caithness with them wherever they are. I also had bought some wee ceramic pots which were in the shape of a button, so the guests got to paint them and decorate them with sticky on buttons as part of the package. Richard and the Bairns helped with the name badges this year, or rather the name plaques. This saved me from sewing them all. He had a piece of ash wood cut down and then he put them into a groove and had them on the side and then inserted a small piece of Caithness flagstone with their name and a wee puffin that Naomi drew on for me. It was a very family affair, this one, and Naomi extremely helpful for helping with the goodie bag preparation and providing home baking with Debbie and Sarah. Thank you, my lovely coffee friends. There were some other goodies in the bags and raffle prizes from the following contributors, some of whom I mentioned last episode. So, Britt Yarn, Ellen Silva, Erica Eccles, Gardening Witch, Kirsten Kapoor, Nick British, Maddie Harvey, Northern Yarn, Sue Stratford, Little Grey Girl, TG Frog, Scotch Tweed, Yarns from the Plain, and Susan B. Anderson, whom I owe a great big public thank you to all of you. I would love if you'd all be there, because imagine how much fun we would have. On this Saturday morning, we had a lovely workshop from Nick from the Yarns from the Plain, who taught us how to do palm loom weaving. Not palm leaf weaving, which is possibly what some of them, possibly me, thought a bit, but I knew that there was wool involved. I wouldn't put past Nick to use palm leaves. She had some funky wee looms, which are the size for a coaster, and they're from Crafts from the Dungeon if you wanted a kit or go to Nick. You can do one and connect them, or you can do the next stage by making twill fabric or even tartan type of fabric, which was fascinating. But whilst I was delighted with my coaster, and I'm using it for my cup just now, I think maybe it's a craft I wouldn't do that much, so I didn't treat myself to one. The afternoon saw us with free time, and Karen went off to the Rose Rock Gin Distillery for a tour. Angela went for an open water swim with Richard in the Bairns, and some of us went puffin hunting up Duncan's Behead. Guess what, non-Instagrammy friends? We saw the puffins! And it was absolutely delightful because we were really very close, about 20 metres away. We were up behind a fence, so the puffins weren't going to be bothered by us. But we watched two puffins clearing out their burrow and putting in bits of grass to their burrow, which was just absolutely stupendous. It really made my day. So last year we discussed the goat man, who's Thomas Thwaites. You can go and look him up. And he decided to try and live as a goat for a year, but he ended up doing it for 3 properties. He got arts funding and everything. And when he said, well, why did you do this? He says, because a shaman told him to. Stop spitting out your coffee. That'll never come out that colour of yarn. But this year, Ella found an article in the newspaper, which I shall read to you just now. I think it's from the Herald, I'm not 100% sure. It says, you've got to be kidding about this new exercise fad. How boring is the gym? All that waiting for machines running on the treadmill like depressed hamster. Do you ever wonder how much lovelier it would be to exercise with a goat? Of course you do. Happily, someone has invented goat yoga. Lainey Morse, a farmer from Oregon, keeps goats. She also knows a yoga instructor. Why not combine the two, she thought. Before you could say, you've got to be kidding me, and other ruminant-related puns, she started classes, found that they were hard to bleat, and posted the idea online. Now the craze has reached the UK with a farm in Devon. Having heard, I'll stop in a minute, about the new discipline offering the classes for £25 a pop. Goat yoga is simple. You do the usual moves, but with a goat on your back. The longer you are still, says Donna McShane, the teacher holding the first UK classes, the more likely you are to climb on you, which encourages people to be calm and relaxed. Their hooves also give an ace massage. If nothing else, it's a giggle and therefore good for you. I smell a market opportunity here for Scotland. Probably not farm-related yoga. I don't think having a Highland cow on one's back would get past health and safety, but midgey boxer size, all those flailing arms could be a runner. Yes. At which point, we fell over laughing. And then Janet from Oregon said, oh, I've done that. Do you want to see the photos? What are the odds? She said it was okay for a try, and she quite enjoyed it, and Laurie has a huge waiting list for this. So there you go. Scoff not, newspaper types, or us types scoff as we did. It is an actual thing. And I just love the kismet of it, the fact that we talk about goats, and then we found the goat yoga, and then somebody in the group had actually done it. We had a pub quiz, a big Chinese takeaway, more knitting, lots of show and telling, and kindness, and gifts, and talking, and whiskey. A huge thank you to Babes Phil and Claire's Trevor for their contributions to the drams. It was very, very kind of you. And a huge thank you to all the guests who gave me a gift, which was extremely kind of you. In the morning, it was all done. Tidy up time. Done for 2017. I very much enjoyed it this year. So much, in fact, I have an announcement. I have got the quote for the retreat for next year already. And I've got the cabins provisionally booked. It was a huge amount of organising for one person, but if I did everything properly in advance, it worked smoothly at the time. Plus, I have a wee gang of friends to help, and the family were absolutely amazing, Richard especially. So, I'm going to keep it at 15 guests and the odd partner sharing a room, but I'm not wanting to book any more cabins. I would stick at 5 cabins. So get your diaries out for the next year, and the date is the last full weekend in May 2018, and it's the 24th to the 27th. It doesn't have any June in it, just May. I'll offer the places to this year's guests first before opening up the extra spaces. I know it's a whole year away, but strike whilst the iron is hot. I can give you the cost soon, and it will be first come with a deposit first served. I have to pay the deposit by mid-August, of all things. I think I can push that back a bit, but not an awful lot, because then I might lose the cabins. If you fancy coming all the way up here, or all the way from over wherever you were, then seriously think about it. I mean, they came from Oregon, Minnesota, Somerset, Cheshire, Borders, Edinburgh, Glasgow, and of course the Black Isle. So it can be done. The cost won't be very much far off £310 for 3 nights, bed and breakfast, in a really lovely self-catering accommodation, which includes your own bedroom, a sitting room area, fully fitted kitchen, washing machine, even a hoover and a freezer. And then I'm going to have one workshop, a dram session, the dinner out, the pub quiz, the show and tell, the raffle prizes, probably more than that, more fun and laughter than Bucco can shake his tail at. So I'll put up a thread at some point soon with full costs, but as they say that they will hold these prices until 15th of August, which is quite soon by all respects, and I did say that to them, that I'd like to get it provisionally booked, but I mean, you've all just come up and paid me loads of money, so you're not exactly going to want to do that quite so soon. But start saving for it now, and making plans as well. My retreat is not quite over then, because I had, thankfully, Ellen and Lisa stay with me from an extra 2 nights, and we went off and did some Caithness historical sites, such as the Waligo Steps that you've heard me talk about, the Hill of Many Stains and Camster Cairns. This noise is the noise of Ellen emerging.
We need the loon calls
into the Grey Cairn of Cancer. Well done, Ellen.
Thank you. It was worth it. I feel like I've joined the special spirits.
This is Louise and Ellen and Lisa inside a cairn.
That's a stone cairn, not a cairn terrier.
That would be a bit sore.
Yes, for all.
So I'm just doing the tourist part this couple of days, and Ellen and Lisa have been shown lots of things in Caithness. What do you think about here then? We're not in the last one, but do you like this?
Yeah. Nothing like getting stuck in a stone hallway to make you glad to be alive.
Yes, it makes you feel very, very good about your own home.
It does, doesn't it? Oh, yeah.
You really appreciate it.
It's amazing. I wonder how many stones are in. I mean, so many.
So the quote that we had.
Oh, yes.
On the entry sign, there was a lovely quote.
You imagine them finding a stone saying, oh, that would be good for the cairn. I'm going to bring that along.
Yeah.
Or maybe they go hunting for them.
Well, they could do.
Everybody go out and find cairn stones. That's your job today. Bigger, flatter,
it was at the start.
Better.
Ciara says, they're just a pile of stones, you know. Helen says,
no, Ciara. They're like life, like our life. It's as if you have to understand every single hand-carried stone in order to understand the total cairn.
It's a bit like knitting, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Ooh.
You have to knit each and every stitch in order to have the complete sweater.
Oh, that's quite poetic.
We try sometimes.
So are you enjoying your Caithness experience, ladies?
Oh,
it's beyond expectations, which were very high. We had very high expectations for you, Louise.
Oh, I'm glad I'm living up to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely 100%. 128%.
Yeah. And I think it's been fantastic. Meringue?
Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah, on that note, listeners, I'm signing off from the Neolithic tour. And then we went to Achnavanik Stone Horseshoe, which I had never been to before. I've driven past it an awful lot. Sinclair and Gurnigal Castle, which I hadn't been into since I was a little girl. Keys Harbour, because it's quite historic looking. My Harbour for shell picking. Dunnet Head for more puffing. And finally, School Sports Day, where they didn't take part in the Mullers race. But they had good fun laughing at me who did. And also, there was midgie boxer size. Ellen and Lisa were the least maintenance guest I've ever had. So ladies, you're so welcome back here anytime. I was completely bereft when I put them on the train. The car was so quiet, the house was oh so quiet, and the laughing and the constant knitting had stopped. It was a pleasure to watch Lisa and Ellen knit and talk to each other but constantly about it too. And the bairns really enjoyed their company, and so did Richard and my mum. So the rest of the week, I just chilled out.
Knit along.
Uncal. How's your not knitting with your uncal item gone? The uncal for this year is now finished. Albeit, what I'd really like to do for you now is do a bit of work on them. Ah, you know you want to. Stop going into meltdown. I didn't say finish it, but just do something on them. Even just find your place. Or frog them completely. Reclaim the yarn and free yourself. So we had prizes, and the winners are the silk scarf dyed by me at the weekend is won by Gardening Witch. The Lil Chelsea Bean shawl pattern by Jen Sheelan is won by FRK Strick. A sock pattern from Becky Breen, who is Green Thumb, is won by Mum Is Mad. And a project bag from Erica Eggles is won by Helen HGF. Thank you very much for taking part in this competition, and thank you to everybody for donating prizes for it. And I'll get in touch with you for addresses for your prizes. Although I probably actually got them, but I'll just double check with you.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up, this is a quick one. Perth Festival is the 10th of September. The Cheshire Fibre Festival is the 1st of October. And the Loch Ness Knit Event is the 13th to the 15th of October. And I'm going to talk about that more in the next episode.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me.
Me, me, me section. I did actually do a little bit of knitting. Not an awful lot, because I had so much sewing to do. I'll come on to that in a second. I finished the brioche hat by Melanie Fallick, and I used the Iona yarn and the TJ Frog yarn. Love the TJ Frog yarn. And like I said in the last episode, the Iona yarn softens up when it's been worked with and then washed. And then I put it on and I said, oh, do you like my new hat? And Rich went, give it here. And he's claimed it. It actually fits him better than me, and it suits him better too. I didn't quite get the decreases right in the brioche, but I didn't feel the need to actually take it back and properly sort it, because it wasn't that bad. I really, really love the blue and the grey of this. I think they work really well together. It's not itchy, as somebody asked, or you maybe think it might be, or you certainly not complained about it being itchy, and it'll soften up with a few more washes, and not washes and pockets. No, there'll be no washes and pockets this time. I finished my Puffin by Sue Stratford and really, really enjoyed this. It's done in intarsia, which I didn't realise until I was pretty much into the pattern, and didn't even realise I was doing it until I read somewhere that you're doing intarsia, and I was, I like that way of learning things. Actually doing it and then being told afterwards, oh, by the way, you were doing a different technique than you've done before. So Sue Stratford books are just brilliant, really lovely. And she's just got this little doggy. So it's a Cairn Terrier. And for all you at the pub quiz, it's Toto. I don't actually think it's called Toto, but Toto is a Cairn Terrier. And that was one of the questions in the pub quiz. And I finished my Ripples hat using Uist yarn, and the pattern's by Linda Johnson, who's on Uist. And it's knitted in the flat and then sewn up, and I like how it came out. It's very squishy. And I'm going to be honest and say that I didn't actually like the swatch sample that I made and washed, because it pilled awfully, and there was loads of wee noot bits of the ends where I didn't think it had been carded well enough. But I don't know, maybe it was just the end of the ball of yarn, because the hat had very little of the noot bits. I mean, it still pilled a wee bit when I was washing it, but I didn't wash it as aggressively when I did the swatch. Plus, the base bit. It's too small for Richard. I had made the medium size because the brioche hat, I thought, it's quite big. So maybe I'll go for the medium size and it'll be a bit more snug. But he says, it's too small. And I put it on, it's not for me. So he can have the brioche hat and I'm having the Ripmel hat. It's currently drying on the radiator, but it's actually too hot for a hat now, which is great in a way. And because the uncal is done, I'm now going back to my Dragonflies Rising Shawl by Helen Stewart. I'm really enjoying working with this yarn again. It's nice and silky soft in comparison to the Uist and the Iona yarns, which turn soft after work and wear. And I'm quite sure that it'll pills too, because there's merino in it, but the shawl won't be washed an awful lot. I'm about 15% into it. There's quite a lot of stock in it until you get to the knitting lace section, and then I'm going to put beads into it, so it'll be a bit more interesting then for me. But just now it's just making sure that I'm doing the increases on both sides. And also I took through my bag of my cardigan, the new one, can't even remember what it's called. I had ceased working on this for a few months as well, so I know I'm at the doing stuff for the pocket, and I need to sit when it's quiet and do this. This is by Cecily Glowick MacDonald, and I'm using black or West Country tweed in DK in a red mottled tweed colour. But I haven't actually knitted on it, but the bag's in here. And I thought, well, maybe do a bit more work on them before casting on all the things, because I want to cast on all the things and start using up all the wool that I've just bought recently. Oh, and I did buy from Nick a gradient set of mini skeins for the Zizdruga shawl by Mary Harvey. So quite excited about getting that all set up. And I bought another set of gradients very close to that. For my friend Anne, who borrowed us the microwave, and also one of the mini skeins that were in the set, it was yellow, and I don't know if it's actually going to go with what I had, but in my stash as well there was extra. Ellen and Lisa were very kind, very kind, times a million, because in the retreat they gifted everybody a little mini skein of some Moda knits. And this is a local dyer to them, and really, really bonny, the one I picked out. So I'm going to make some paving mitts. So I was sort of discussing the paving mitts is by Ellen herself. And I've made the children some. I thought, I really like that. I'm going to make them some for me. Now, Lisa had two of her paving mitts with her because she thought Scotland was going to be cold. Well, it was on the Monday and Tuesday, but it certainly wasn't over the weekend. She had a set, and they had a sort of yellowy for one of the colours and a very light colour to go with it. So I was looking at the multicoloured mini skin that I had got, and I was trying to put something with it. So I'm going to put a yellow yarns from the plane with it, and it'll pick it up just wonderfully. So I'm quite happy about that. The sewing. What I've been doing recently is making retreat zipped notion pouches, and I've been using Caithness Tartan. Basically it's a zip pencil case, but if you're in the knitting world it's for your notions. So this was part of the goodie bag for everybody, and I was getting quite good at the zips. So often when I'm making the tartan project bags, there's bits of tartan that's been left over. And they're not really big enough to make a bag, but they'll be big enough to make a pencil case notion pouch, now that I know how to do zip. So I need to increase my zip stash. And then you'll start to see these, hopefully, as sets, along with your project bag, into my Etsy shop soon. In the library corner, I've just finished reading Sean Conway, Hell and High Water, my epic 900 spin from Land's End to Jonah Groats. And this is a true story about Sean Conway. He became the first person ever to swim the length of Britain. And it's quite an interesting book, and how it's a lesson in how you should prepare more and how things can go wrong. But then there was a bit more drama when things went wrong as to, oh, we had another good day of swimming. But he's written it quite honestly and quite well, and quite a fast read, so I enjoyed it. And actually it had a wee bit of personal attachment to it, because when he did come up to Jonah Groats, and Thurso Richards was following him on social media, and then he went to meet him with Sandy, and this was a couple of years now, so when I saw this book I thought, oh, I must get that out for Richard to read, and I ended up reading it. So I recommend it's quite a good book to read. Drams. On to the drams this episode. If you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thank you for listening. I'll catch you next episode, because there's only shoppy section, blah 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 stuff after. If you are into the drinking, stay tuned, because this episode sees Richard and my special guests of Ellen and Lisa drink an Old Pulteney 12-year-old. Richard and I have drunk and recorded this dram, like it was the second or third dram session that we ever did, and it's a few years ago now, so it'll do no harm to get a new earring.
We're drumming.
Hello, listeners. Lisa's looking on with lots of scorn and disgust.
Trepidation.
Oh, yeah, that's a better word. A better adjective. I've lost all my adjectives this weekend.
Trepidate a word?
I don't know.
Trepidate people.
It's like whelm. Do you whelm or do you underwhelm?
Some people are intrepid.
Well, probably. So who have I got in this room extra? To my right of me, I've got Turbo Gal, also known as Lisa.
Hello.
Or it should be the other way around, that, shouldn't it?
Yeah. Backwards.
Lisa.
Also known as Turbo Gal. That's better. And Ellen, as in Twin City Ellen. Hello.
Hello.
And we have Richard.
Hello.
And me.
Oh.
But we're doing a very quick drams of Old Pulteney. We haven't done it in a while.
It's a fast track.
Yeah.
Drams.
So, you know what the box looks like? It's cream, it's got a boat on it, it's brilliant. It's from Wick, established 1826. Old Pulteney, single malt Scotch whisky, aged 12 years. And it's the Maritime malt. The bottle is quite a cool bottly shape.
Traditional.
Yes.
That Adam would have fed the pet calf with.
And it is, what colour would you say it was in the glass? Because we've already poured it, listeners.
Because we're fast tracking.
Fast tracking.
There you go. One.
Thank you.
There's no water in that yet. Two.
They look like I'm having a sherry glass.
Right,
the colour in the glass. I'm going to say Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
Pooh. Quite a dark Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, I think he's been
it's a gold
playing
Winnie
a bit.
The Pooh. He's caught the sun.
He's caught the sun over the weekend in the lovely weather.
He's bronzed Winnie the Pooh.
Oh. Well, you can swirl yours quite well on that one.
Yeah, you can swirl mine in my sherry glass.
Ooh.
Have a snuffy. Ellen, I don't know whether we should let you do this because you're knitting fair ale.
I'm slowing down.
You only have to really do a few stitches to say you've
that's
done
right.
It.
You've done it in Scotland. Yeah.
Yep. And while drumming.
Even
so
better.
Is that wool from Fair Air?
It's Shetland.
That? Shetland.
Shetland.
It's called Fair Air.
Jameson Smith.
The technique is called Fair Isle.
Ah,
because
yes.
It's from originally, yeah. I think, from the actual Fair Isle of
mm-hmm.
Fair Isle.
Between Shetland and Orkney.
Yes. So, is any decision on the sniff?
I would go for a medium to high intensity and then complexity, possibly dry with a hint of sea air.
So would I, actually. Exactly that.
It's like doing it at Wick Harbour on landing day.
We need the scories making the noise. What does a seagull make a noise like? Okay, that's more like a puffin. Of which we have seen many puffins.
Many puffins, multiple days.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been, like, I haven't been out with yourselves today, but I've seen lots of wildlife this last few days.
Yeah. And so a hen harrier yesterday, and numerous skylarks, curlews.
Baby stoats.
Baby stoats, you saw them.
Seals.
You saw the seals.
Grey heron.
Oh, yes. And swan.
Did you see porpoise or dolphin as well at the retreat?
Suzanne Silva.
And we heard, which is quite rare for up here,
because there's cookies. No trees.
Cuckoo, that's right, we did.
Because of the no trees.
Which I'm amazed. I've only ever heard one.
I like them.
Wow.
Cuckoo up here before.
And kestrel and buzzards and it's been birdtastic. We've really enjoyed you having birdies.
We heard a raven today.
Oh.
Yeah, and of course the rare Bukel.
What is
he? He has made an appearance or two.
And some calls.
Yeah, I haven't heard the call yet. What is the call? The Bukel.
The whiffing. It's when somebody goes past the window.
His call.
He'd be through. He's looking. He's looking. He says, "Where's my drum?" Imagine Bukel on the drums. Carnage. Break the hoose juice.
Break the hoose juice. Hey, would you like to add some water?
Oh yeah, I can do a wee drop of water.
It smells kind of fruity.
I got a little
fruit toffee
and a little smoke. But it was like
when,
when there's the forest fire up in Ely, up in the Boundary Waters, and we get that whiff of smoke down in Minneapolis.
Is that okay for water?
That's about how much smoke I got. Yeah, that's great.
Well, who are we going to have for a dram tonight, ladies and Richard? Anybody got any?
Yeah. I've got two folk.
Go on then.
On the left of me, I've got Roger Moore. And on the right of me, I've got John Noakes.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You can share. They're willing to chat to you too.
Oh, okay. Anybody over here?
I've invited Hazel Tindall.
Good idea.
Yeah, I want her advice on the Fair Isle that I'm trying to do while I'm drinking drams.
I met her in Edinburgh recently, and she's just brilliant. She would come out with it and tell you. Lisa?
I know.
Well, I'm going to have
jam.
Oh, we're going to have jam.
Yeah.
And I'm going to also, on Dale, we'd have to have Dale too. Okay. I think I'll have all the retreat attendees from this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Back. Because they've only just gone home.
I know.
Except for you. I kept you two for a wee willy. I'm going to have to unpick the pocket so that you can get out tomorrow. I'm going to go to the kids' sports day tomorrow at school. And I'll get Ellen and Lisa to do the mother's race so I don't have to.
Wait a minute.
There's a standard that needs to be met.
Yeah, I normally come second last.
Oh no.
You might win, but I never do. Anyway, would you
just
like...
have to carry a bear under your arm each.
Oh, yeah.
And what?
Drag them across the field.
I didn't drag anyone across the field. I carried them.
I'm sorry, I'm drinking whiskey. Tastes just like whiskey.
It's lovely. It's a lovely smell. It's beautiful. Holy cow.
So is this your favourite?
Obviously, yes, because it's Will Poultney from where I'm born.
Oh, no.
And we drove past the distillery yesterday.
Oh, that's right, we did.
Yeah.
Didn't have time.
I don't have a favourite. I've yet to find my favourite.
This is my favourite.
It's a really nice one.
I have sort of like I couldn't name them, but I've like a top 10 that sometimes if the whim takes me, I'll have a try a different one. I always try and try something different, but I'll just try and go over whatever my mood. I've been spoilt in some of my previous work engagements. I've stayed in hotels with really good whiskey selections. We've tried maybe one or two, ones that
I've
never heard of before. So
if you haven't found your favourite, that means you have to keep searching.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And each one's different. Even it's got character.
Now, this one, I like especially the end.
I get a kind of toffee kind of.
Honey.
I thought it was so smoky at the retreat, but I don't.
No,
it's quite so smoky. This one.
The Bumour was really
super
smoky.
Super smoky. Oh, it was the other one.
But this
really
one has
smoky.
A hint of smoke.
This is just the right amount.
Smoky. Just a freshness, a sharpness.
Maybe it's like
a
barrel. Sometimes you take it off the barrel.
Quite citrusy at the start, and then it comes quite sweet after. Spicy honey.
It's just like whiskey.
Well, the aroma tasting notes.
Oh, right.
appearance. Have we got appearance? Winnie the Pooh in the sun. Deep amber, red golden, with which a slight pink hue, sparkling with a copper glow.
Oh, Winnie the Pooh.
Aroma, medium to high intensity and complexity, dry with a hint of sea air. That's funny, that's almost how I worded it myself. And tasting notes, dry, medium-bodied and smooth, redolent of honey and cream, faintly salty with a slightly spicy note and a sweet, long-lasting finish. I would go with their tasting notes,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
American ex-bourbon.
Cast. Oh, ex-bourbon. Oh, not bad.
There we go.
Nearly not right. It was a cask. I'd like to point out that I'm the only one now.
I saw that and I got jealous, so I'm about to get out my knitting. But I have to cast on.
Ooh. When she's drinking, this will be fun.
For the last 6 days, I've never felt so inadequate.
How? For the
I
work?
I have nothing in my hands to do.
That's what we do, is we just...
I know, I'm
joking. We're busy.
We're very busy. I've had... Instagram has stopped some of my knitting time because I've enjoyed putting all the photographs up.
Very busy with the Instagram.
So it's a no-brainer for yourself, Louise, you'd have this again?
Oh, absolutely. This was bought in Tesco's.
Lisa, would you have that again?
Yeah, I would, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
Would you come back to have it here?
I would.
That's a loaded question.
Would you have me?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Really good house case.
Would you bring me with you?
I've seen that.
I would. I could get even a bigger suitcase.
I've seen the way she loads that
dishwasher. Test.
I was going to say, I've seen the way you load that dishwasher.
Oh.
Sticky wicket, sticky
wicket.
Yeah,
but wicket. The fact she actually loaded the dishwasher's a plus point, don't you think?
Yeah.
You and your dishwasher.
OCDs.
Yeah. So, we've been travelling and doing touristy things in Caithness. Out of yesterday and today, and we've done many, many things.
Oh, many.
Could you think of just a couple of things that stood out for you? Not necessarily your favourites or your highlights or whatever, just something that all of a sudden you come back to mind.
I love seeing the tidal rush. What did you call it?
The Pentland Firth and the Inner Sound. And you've got the Minimini, the Swiltgay and the Boars of Dunkesby.
And watching the water rush through it and the waves churn up, that was amazing.
Have you ever seen sea when it's full on boiling?
I don't think so.
And a full on gale. Wick's amazing when it's like that. The Wick Bay, just, it's like the water is just boiling and it pounds and you just look and you think, yeah, I'm going to let you do what you want to do and I'll just stay over here and watch you. Because I've got much more respect than that way for it.
Wow. That's
how I feel
watching Lisa
quite
knit
sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've really enjoyed watching Lisa knit. And you. Such talented hands. And you just so self-conscious, unconsciously just ask each other, do you think that's the right gauge? And I say yes. And then I would say no. No, you would get away with that. Whereas, goes with the instinct, takes it all out. What are you doing? I'm just taking it out. And then all of a sudden it's knitted back up. Love that.
How your mum enjoyed herself too, yeah?
Mum had a wonderful, wonderful time. What do you think would be something that stands out for you?
Oh, seeing puffins. I really wanted to see puffins. And then we were doing the reverse psychology, like, of course I'm not going to see puffins.
There was a huge chance that you weren't going to see puffins.
Like taking a brolly so it doesn't rain.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Well, and you also said, Lisa, that what made it extra special was seeing puffins the first time Zelia saw puffins.
Yes, that was. Yeah. She was so excited. It was so nice to be with the
My mom has never seen a puffin, and this weekend she saw quite a few. And we were so lucky to be standing on the other side of the gale, looking down, and Naomi went, there's a puffin, look how close it is. And it was about 15 metres away, would you say? Even that?
Oh,
and
so close.
There was two of them, and they were cleaning out their burrow and putting in some more bits of grass and straw, getting it ready for the egg. And they're so cute. And just lovely. I really enjoyed watching that. And it was great to share it with you. And I had to get photographs of everybody looking at them so I could prove it to all those naysayers that said there was no puffins in Caithness Shores.
Did you see about the weasel you seen?
Oh, yeah, I did. The last time I was there, there was a weasel hunting alone.
Oh,
but I don't think they'd laid eggs by that point because they weren't really bothered. But we've done quite a lot in Caithness.
Another thing I really liked was the steps of Walligo and the cairns we saw today. Especially because I heard you talk about them on the podcast. I had this image in my mind from how you described them and to go there in person.
Was it the image in your head like what you did?
Yes.
What you seen today, was it like what you envisaged?
Yes, but even better in person.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm impressed you did all them steps.
Yeah. I thought, we did it.
Could you imagine doing that bare feet?
With a basket of barrel
on your back.
We talked about that.
On your shoulder.
And then again, right? You probably go, I don't know, how many times a day did they
up
do that?
And then carry
them
to Wick.
Mm.
And you put your shoes on when you got to Wick. Isn't that right?
Yeah, when we got to the cemetery at Wick, they would put their shoes on.
Why?
Because you're going into town.
Oh.
So you'd have to be posh.
So you don't wear them out.
Wow.
Imagine that.
Amazing to think that they didn't wear shoes.
Yeah.
What? I enjoyed showing you. Goodness, I have to say. Just the things, we never really spent that much, so all the things that we saw, it's all there. You just have to sort of go out and hunt it out.
It's fuel and time, isn't it?
Yeah. It was really good fun. We had haggis for dinner tonight.
For a starter.
It was excellent.
It was. I was impressed. You liked it.
It was delicious.
So don't put it off having haggis.
Maybe I should give lutefisk a try, boys.
Yeah, when you come to see us, we'll serve you lutefisk.
What's that?
It's not nearly as nice as...
kind of like fish jello.
Oh, right.
It's dried fish that's been lye-treated so that it will last forever.
Oh.
It was a famine food. You know, you can stock this up and have it when there were no sources of fresh food.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's this kind of a heritage food, it's become something that, you know, our Swedish friends eat every, you know, major holiday, and
it's
part of it. Is it Norwegian or Swedish?
Norwegian.
See, you'll have to fact check this.
Yeah,
could be fake news.
anyway,
it's become a traditional, you know, call back your heritage meal, but
when
it's prepped up.
We will try it.
Mm-hmm. I love trying new stuff, especially when I go somewhere. I like trying the local dishes or the traditional cuisine.
Well, Lisa and I will try to get it tried before you come over. I haven't tried it yet.
Because everyone I know who's their family eats it. The older generation eats it and loves it. They grew up with it. But the younger generation, they don't like it. So
I suppose it's what you're conditioned to.
Yeah.
We
were talking about that earlier. So is Caithness, is it... as I describe it, when you hear me talk about it, is there anything that I seem to miss or?
Flatter, less trees.
I thought it was a town. I didn't realize there wasn't a Caithness, like a place.
Oh right,
like a place.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I thought it was a town.
Yeah, it's a region, county of Caithness, the most northerly mainland Britain. Well, no, it's not, because Sutherland can be north as well.
No, but Caithness is the most northerly point.
Yes.
In mainland Britain.
Yes, which you were at today, and we saw another puffin.
It's kind of like the descriptions were accurate, but being here in person, it was like going from black and white to colour.
Oh, I like that.
It was fabulous.
Yeah.
I had very high expectations, and they were blown out of the water. I just loved it here.
Good.
I would agree.
Oh, haste you back.
I hope we will.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna cry tomorrow when you go. I'll check out the car and just go away.
Just open the door.
But we still gotta do sports day, so
And Thurso
a little bit.
Maybe we should make some signs for sports day. Run, Sandy, run.
Run like you stole it.
Run like you maybe can use those signs.
Yes.
And then the recycling bin at the back door if you want to use them.
We should do that.
You can write in the back of there.
You got anything else to say about the drink? Or anything else to say?
Coconut.
coconut.
I just got a hint of coconut.
Oh, smelling gorse.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Yeah, that's another thing I'll remember.
Smelling gorse. So, to the American listeners, imagine having your first experience smelling a lilac bush. Smelling gorse for the first time must be just the same. It's just wonderful.
They turned into bees. That was good fun.
It's funny how something that's quite pretty and quite a lovely aroma is such a brutal... It's a weed, really. It's a menace.
It's quite invasive as well.
Oh, is it?
With its big, thorns. Jaggy thorns. Yeah, it's so hard to...
I love what Carmen said. if you have a hat or something that blows into the gorse, you just say... I didn't need that anyway. Because you are going to go in to get it.
Well, I would just like to say thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Absolute
pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Slanjava.
Slanjava. Anytime.
Slanjava.
Yeah, it means good health.
Shoppy section.
Shoppy section. Thank you very much for your purchases the past week. I very, very much appreciate it. The shop has currently got one Red McGregor, a Black Watch, a Robertson and a Grant. If you feel you'd like to contribute to my continued running of a podcast but get stuff back as well, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft, or you can support the podcast and get nothing back if that is your want. You would do that by just finding out my PayPal address, which I'm happy to review your patterns or books or yarns or notions. If you're in that line, don't be shy. Finally, I'm open for relevant sponsorship for future episodes. If you're interested or know someone else that isn't, let me know. Mostly the shop helps me make ends meet and pays for podcast stuff. I have got some book reviews written up. I've been to the library and got some really quite good books and spent the other day, it was the only thing I did, was do book reviews. But I think this episode is long enough as it is.
Blah, blah, blah section.
Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate you taking the time to download and take time out your day and listen to me. I'd like to add that all opinions are mine and sometimes Richard's. I do occasionally get facts wrong, but I try not to, and I don't do it on purpose. My email is craithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am a Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, and Caithnesscraft. You can get the podcast from the Podbean site where it sits as 3Ws. CaithnessCraftCollective.podbean.com. The reason I giggle is because it was pointed out by Miss Scully that I never say 3 W's there. The intro is from Free Music Archive and it's called Entertainment from the Brain Dead by a Friend. I like the birdie at the very start and I think it's quite tuneful. But you can imagine the division music, you can all bounce out because there's none. And also, don't be sneely, Bob. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting. We're going swimming in a loch now. Oh joy.